Are you sure we can tell this?
Massive fan of Off the Ball.
Ireland is in dreamland.
The All Ireland finals are almost upon us.
There's always good guests on.
Fastest ever seen you run your life there.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe at offtheball.com/join.
Highly recommend it.
Hurling on Off the Ball
with Bord Gáis Energy. That's hurling energy, and we've been here for all of it with our energy.
Yeah, welcome back to Croke Park, Stephen. This is the first All-Ireland final since the passing of the great Micheál Ó Murtagh. Fáilte Chaillig go Fáilte an Crókaigh. Fáilte go Cluiche Ceannais na hÉireann. Tarrés Colún dul mhór an Léigh Micheál Farrúsa le Himnigh a bheatha do chultúr na hÉireann a chur chun cinn. Tá mic galún díobh anois go bhfuil mé chun píosa Gaeilge a labhairt ar teangan náisiúnta ag gach Cluiche. What a man he was as he commented on those wonderful games. As we drove along in our cars that barely travelled 60 miles an hour, we didn't just think we were in Croke Park, Turles or Páirc Uí-Chaoimh. We felt like we were there. We could smell the excitement in Killarney, the Hyde and Ockram. For those glorious 70 minutes, we believed we were in Cusack Park, Fraherfield or Breffni. The Gaelic grounds, Casement Park or the Athletic grounds, Wexford Park or Nolan Park, Burr, Tullamore or Portlaoise. He was the magic man. He believed the glass was always half full. He believed in the young people. He believed in the Irish language and the Irish culture. He told us so eloquently about how the streaker ran around Croke Park. I started to wonder, was he one of the 30 hurlers on the field? We learned about the first time a rabbit chased a fox in Croke Park. We learned how Teddy McCarthy became a man apart, the first man to win the double, an All-Ireland in senior hurling and an All-Ireland in senior football in 1990, which brought us to the famous joke about a man boasting how his county had won two All-Irelands in 3 years. What are you talking about, says the Cork lad. We've a fella below in Cork who won two All-Irelands in a fortnight. Micheál Ó Murtagh from Dunsheen to Croke Park. Agus an ish arash go Dunsheen. Níl hint in tán mar hint on féin. Well, with Micheál, Stephen, t'was never about himself. T'was always about the players, the listeners, the people. Which brings us to today. Can Cork end the 19-year famine? Will the spuds be growing down Lee side tonight? Or will Liam McCarthy be heading back to the Shannon? No biddy early curse, no 81-year wait. Is this their day? In 1980, the West was awake. Well, the summer of 2024, the hurling world has been truly awakened. And today, we're at the pinnacle, Tommy, and we cannot wait.
Tommy Welch, what a beautiful way to start our coverage. I feel like your monologue should be in the official Clarion Lay. It is 3:07 p.m. At 2:59 p.m., as the clocks turned, Tony Kelly led the Clare team out and drove the ball over the bar into the Hill 16 end, and the Clare fans went mad. Less than 60 seconds later, to a rapturous roar, Cork emerged. The noise levels have really ratcheted up. The colours have ratcheted up. The hill looks like it's 50-50. The lower tiers are nearly full and the upper tiers are filling up. It's All-Ireland Hurling Final Day. What's ahead of us right now?
Ah, Tommy, the place is brimming. It's absolutely humming. It's brimming. It's singing. The place, I suppose, 25 minutes ago, Tommy, was kind of half full. There's no minor game. We'll get back to that some other time. There should be a minor game. We should be seeing minor hurlers out there 16, 15 years of age. Less pressure than anywhere. Less pressure than Nolan Park. Less pressure than Portlaoise. Any of these places, full houses. It was a joy for 50, 60, 100 years for a minor to come up here and talk about for many years to come. And the place would be full an hour and a half ago. But listen, it's full now, Tommy. You said it about Tony, the crowd. Like, we talk about the Cork supporters. The Clare supporters are here in full tilt as well. And, you know, what am I expecting today? I'm expecting just an absolute humdinger. A scorn feast, because that's the way both teams play. Clare go man to man, and Cork go long puck outs or pod type puck outs where they land them down on top of, you know, the left hand forward position, and off they go. But today is a great day for hurling because it's new, it's fresh. Like we said, Cork haven't won it in 19 years. It has never been done. Like, that's a famine. Jeez, more than a famine. You know, a great hurling county, a great sporting county. Hurling, football, soccer, you know, Turner's Cross, you have Munster in the rugby, you have the soccer, even the women's soccer international that was played down there last week, which was amazing as well. So Cork is very much a sporting county. I was down in college here for 4 years. Brilliant sporting people. And then you have Clare, you know, a much smaller county. But by God, you know, like, it's not about the size of the dog in the fight, it's about the size of the fighting the dog, and them clear boys are, know how to fight. They're a great, they're a credit to themselves the last 4 or 5 years, coming back after a disappointment, after a disappointment. But today, no, today's going to be a great day, hopefully.
You mentioned no minor game. We did have the Jubilee boys, the winners of 1999, and they were Jimmy Barry Murphy's boys. They were quite a young team back then. 25 years ago, Tommy, Croke Park looked different. The presentation that day was on the field. They were building the new stand. It was raining that day. There's no rain right now. It's a lovely day. There's clouds overhead. They're threatening, but I don't think we're going to get it. The type of game that you're expecting today, it's not going to be 13-12 like it was between Cork and Kilkenny in 1999.
No, I'm looking at that Jubilee team, like, Jimmy Barry Murphy couldn't hardly still, or
the cheer he got.
Oh, the place lifted. Then we knew there was a full house. The whole, I'd say the Clare people and all were cheering for Jimmy Barry. He's kind of universally loved, Jimmy Barry. And he even looked like one of the players, didn't he? He didn't look his age. I'm not going to give him his age, but he only looked the same age as those boys in 1999.
Absolutely.
You know, and a few of the big cheers, like Brian Corcoran got some cheer, like, you know. He won the first All-Ireland, second All-Ireland, that was 92. He was cornerback and he was down in front of us here. He cleared the ball and it was a real wet day again, 92. And his hurl went up into the Hogan stand. You know, and it, you know, it slipped out of his hand. And, well, he was an amazing cornerback. A lot of the Cork people remembered R.A. and the people from around that time. But Ryan Corcoran, 2, 6 and 14, he finished up. And like 99, he would have been centre-back and man of the match to send the final. So he was nearly a man of the match. I'd say every day he played Ryan Corcoran. And he probably gave him the lift to win, like the last 0-3, he came back then and wasn't a 0-4 and 0-5. He was kind of the spiritual leader.
Yeah.
They all looked up to him, probably took the pressure off all them lads.
Yeah. The only one that was married famously on that 1919. But getting to today, Tommy, the type of game that we're expecting. I was listening to your chat with Joe Malloy a little earlier on. It was about 2 hours to throw in. And you were talking about the importance of not letting a game like this pass you by. A big game. But this is an All Ireland final. For Cork, they seized the opportunity against Limerick. When Rob Downey tore up the field and put that ball over the bar after 4 minutes, you knew they were here. For Clare, it took them to the second half to waken up against Kilkenny. They nearly let it slip by them. They nearly let it pass them by. How do they ensure that when the ball gets thrown in by Johnny Murphy at 3:30 p.m. that it's going to be their day today?
Yeah, well, listen, Clare, in fairness to them, like probably Cork in the two previous games coming up to the All-Ireland semi-final against Limerick, they were worried about their form. Were they after dropping off since the Munster round robin? And you could say the very same about Clare. Munster final, they weren't up to their usual standards. The All-Ireland semi-final against Kilkenny, like, I met a few of the Clare people at half-time, like, they were kind of half devastated. They said, not again. Like, and talked to a few Clare people today, they just want to come up and perform the way this Clare team has done on so many big occasions, so that there's no regrets, that if you get beaten, you're beaten by the better team. And that's what happened in the first half against Kilkenny. They just didn't turn up for what they would probably say would be the third year in a row in All-Ireland semi-final. It wasn't that Kilkenny were all over them. Kilkenny were playing well and that, but Clare didn't show up. And just from the second half on, off they went. And they'll be hoping that they'll need more form to beat this Cork team. Defiance won't just win it on its own today, because in a final you're playing against the second, you know, the first or second best team in Ireland.
You mentioned Defiance. That is a team today. We've seen highlights of the final in 2013 when Clare famously won their fourth All-Ireland ever after a replay. The colour, the noise, much the same as it is today. But for Cork, the likes of Shamie Harnedy, Conor Lahan is on the bench, and Patrick Horgan, of course, they're still chasing that first All-Ireland medal.
Yeah, sure. Horgan, like, you can only rewind back to 2017 when Waterford were playing against Galway. The whole of the country was hoping Joe Canning would win an All-Ireland final on one side and win his Celtic Cross. On the other side, you were hoping for Waterford, the Brick Welch. No matter what happened, the neutral was nearly happy, because there was some legend or some man that was after giving everything to his county was going home with an All-Ireland medal in his back pocket. And today feels like the same. Defiance, you said it, Tommy. I think today is all about defiance. Patrick Horgan, like, never say never. Like, there's probably lads asking him for the last. He's 36 now, which is unusual, crazy really for an inter-county player in this era. And probably lads are asking for probably the last 4 or 5 years, are you going to come back next year? He comes back year after year after year. He made his debut in 2008. What's that, 16, 17 years ago?
17 years, yeah.
He's gone over 700 pints. He's only a couple of pints away from TJ Reid to become the all-time top scorer. And it's not that he's coming in and everybody's patting him on the back saying, Patrick, come back year after year. He just comes back. I read them great interviews during the week. That's a lock him out of Páirc Uí Chaoimh, lock him out of the Glen. Brilliant stories for a young person here. I'd say to the young lads claiming over odds, left, right and centre.
He had his nephew with him in Páirc Uí Chaoimh during the week, pucking ball back out to him. He said he does it every couple of weeks with him. Like Patrick Corgan, he spoke about it during the week in an interview, that it's not all about the All-Ireland medal. I don't think that's weighing him down, that he has to win one. He has the memories, he has the love for the sport. But for him to do it today, for Cork people, it would mean an awful lot.
To mean an awful lot. And Harnedy the same. Like, Harnedy has been an absolute warrior for the last 10, 12, 13 years. You know, his mother is... six All-Ireland medals, like, you know, and so they know what to do. He's won a lot of championships with McKilly. Harnedy, like, has been there and won Munster championships, so it's not as if they haven't been winning things. But he's the guy, the go-to man, isn't he? He's the guy that when he wins the ball, the crowd, he's able to kind of associate himself with the crowd, and the crowd nearly feel they're part of Harnedy, because when he scores, it means so much more nearly than anybody else. And it'd be great for them two fellas to win an All-Ireland medal, but also for the Clare lads, like part of the 13, the class of 2013. There's a lot of them players who've given everything to hurling when the whole of Ireland was talking about the green machine. How can anyone stop Limerick? How can anyone stop the way they play the game? And Clare have given it to them. Round Robin, remember down in the Gaelic rounds last year. Then Munster finals, the first two Munster finals, they lost up to epics. From the extra time, Tony Kelly, a sideline over the bar, said maybe this is their day. No, it wasn't. They said coming back. They said saying not today, we're going to come back the next day. So whoever wins today, I think the neutral people will be happy for either.
They're laying out the red carpet for an Uachtaráin to come out and meet the teams and shake the hands. At the 3:15, just after it, 16 minutes past, both teams are warming up. Into the old canal end, into the Davin end, the Cork players are shooting. The Clare players are spread out across the hill. What are these minutes like? What's going on in the bellies, Tommy? Are you totally focused that you're not taking anything in that's happening around you?
Yeah, this 3:15 now, it's lovely. This is the nicest part of the day, because you're past the dressing room and the bus over is, and even the hotel when you're getting your soup, looking at, sipping it, looking at it again, putting a bit of pepper on it, looking at it, maybe drinking another little bit, and then, you know, you don't drink any of it. You get a few brew pastilles off the dietitian, and hopefully that'll get you through the game. So today, now 3:15 is beautiful, Tommy. It's gone on to 17 minutes past three, getting better again. So the boys looking at the Cork boys, they're doing a bit of kind of tackling and that. We didn't do much of that now, but the Clare boys in the far end, they're putting the ball over the bar. That's lovely, as you're putting it over and you're imagining this could be me in 10 minutes time, and it'll be unbelievable. You're getting ready to go into the parade, go behind the Artain by his band. The hour on the Veen is special, like, so you're heading into time where you're out of your head and you're just going. So this is where you want to be, Tommy.
I asked Sean Ogue about an hour ago, before he went out in the Jubilee, we caught up this morning. I asked Sean Ogue Halpin, says, do you remember meeting the Uachtaráin, Mary McAleese, back then? And he said, I do, because my parents warned me, make sure you give an Uachtaráin a firm handshake. Can you remember any of those moments? Are they something, or are you so zoned in, Tommy, that it doesn't matter who's in front of you?
Ah, yeah. No, you do, because, you know, you shake hands and all that, but you have such, you know, you have huge things.
Like, you're not full of aggression and full of just energy to just get going at that time.
Ah, it's too early then, Tommy. Like, there's no point being aggressive in the parade. You can't hit anyone in the parade.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, but no, listen, you know, when you're heading into the parade, like, what are you thinking? I suppose what you're asking me at this stage, yeah, you're starting to think of the lad and going to mark. You might have a little glimpse down, see down below, and just, you know, see, can you see who's out in half hour line, who's number 10, who's number 12, who's shooting from different areas. You know, you might have to pick him up, and that's what you're thinking. But I suppose the big question today is, like, who's going to be the star today? Like,
what are you thinking?
Well, I'm looking back at the last couple of years, like Garrod Hegarty in 2021-22. Like, his stats are phenomenal. 7 points, I think it was, in 2020. 2-2 in 2021, and 1-5 in 2022.
And, like, the goals were all absolutely out of this world.
Peaches. And it looked like he was going to do it again in the semi-final. Like, Jamie Callan in 16, 9 points from play. Shane O'Donnell's hat-trick in 13. James, he was man the match in 1997. Brian Lowe in 95, hurler of the year. Walter Welch, remember him in 2012, or Taggy in 06. Our people won, like that. Peter Ryan in 09, all his saves. Brian O'Healan, 98. He was sick, had the flu. He was half back. Brian McAvoy was, I'd say, going to town on the wing here in front of us, sailing balls over into the hill. he had to go down full forward and ended up at 1-6. Like, who is going to be that magic man?
Somebody's going to do it today, Tommy.
Somebody's going to do it.
And there's so many candidates, aren't there, on both sides? There are so many candidates. Who do you think, on one hand, is due a day, and on the second hand, who do you expect to win this game for their country?
Yeah, so if we look at the programme there now, Tommy, like, the leading contenders for Hurler of the Year, in my mind, are for Cork, Shane Barrett, Seamus Harnedy, and probably Dara Fitzgibbon.
Yeah.
So if we take them out of it, is there anybody outside of that from Cork that could turn up, you know, and be the star? You nailed it. Alan Connolly. He has 3 hat-tricks this year. Like, Nicky Racker has 59 goals in Championship Hurling. You know what I mean? Like, this lad has 3 goals. He's a goal machine. Nicky be proud of him now. He's going for his, like, he has a triple-triple, as they call it in America. He's going for his 4th hat-trick this year. Like, it's off the charts. He only has to score one hat-trick today, and the cup could be going back down to Lee side.
Sean O'Gahalpin picked him out before the game as the man to watch. He said that it reminded him of his brother Satanta, and something that Grady said to him when he was coaching Cork back in the day: will you go for a point? And he said, I don't do points. And that's a bit like Alan Connolly. He's so lethal. He just goes for goal. And sometimes you have players like that.
Yeah, well, we had a funny one there. We had DJ. So DJ is one of the best goal scorers of all time. And there was one time, Brian, we must have been going for goals too much at the time. And Brian Gordy says, now lads, Sunday, if you get the ball, put it over the bar and keep the scoreboard ticking over. And DJ popped his head like as if you're in school to the master. And right, if I get the ball, I go for a goal. And we were all afraid to say it, but DJ went for it.
Tommy, the noise has gone to another level. On Uachtaráin, come on, Lachlan Scale. Garlett Burns is walking out. With Uachtaráin, the hero, Michael D. Higgins. The players are all standing to attention. The whole stadium is standing up here and looking on. This is where it starts to get going.
Yeah, well, the red carpet is out for Mihála.
Before we get into that, right, because they're walking out now to do it, they're going to meet the president, he's going to meet the captains, they're going to walk them through it. You mentioned Alan Connolly there from Cork, you mentioned Harnedy, Barrett, Fitzgibbon, the Hurler of the Year contenders. From Clare's side, what are you feeling? Who's due a day of days today?
Yeah, so for Clare, my leading contenders then for Hurler of the Year will be, say, Shane O'Donnell on the edge of the square. Like, what a phenomenal year he's having. The man in front of him then, Mark Rogers, I think he's been absolutely amazing, really, really good. And Adam Hogan, the cornerback, like, playing brilliant. So who outside of them could be the man? Do you know who's having some year, and it's not a lot of spoke now? David Reedy. Reedy, right, he mightn't score 1 point, but he could score 4 points today. You know, kind of a Peter Casey kind of a lad. Peter Casey was the man in the match after coming back from his cruciate last year. He scored 5 points that year. He did his cruciate. And that was the year, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and it was last year.
And Reedy was dropped for the Munster final, and he was brought back in, and the Clare balance seemed to correct itself again when he was brought back in.
Yeah, Reedy's a good player, like, because I suppose all the focus goes on Rogers, on Tony, on Big Peter Duggan.
And what about this man wearing number 8 today, who had an unbelievable league and is at a quiet enough championship? David Fitzgerald, could he come alive today?
Yeah, but you remember Parky Queeve, who scored the goal that put the nail in the coffin for Cork?
Yeah.
David Fitz.
Yeah.
And what happened there was, the sending off happened that time. Sean O'Donoghue, and I remember saying at the time, because I know from talking to a few of the county players at the moment, they said David Fitz is like a racehorse, which you mightn't realise from looking at as a neutral, that he's so fast, you see, big, strong, and able to hit the ball over the bar. So he's a racehorse, absolute racehorse. So when the space opens up, off he went. And to remember, in along here in Barkey Cueve, along this side of the stand, and straight through and put the ball in the back net. Great finisher, absolutely, he could be one of the lads. And see, the red carpet is out for the two presidents there today. There'll be no red carpet out for any of these boys today.
There will
especially
not.
If John Conlon or Conor Cleary has anything to say about.
And that's what I wanted to get to. All the talk is about the forwards. A lot of them. You mentioned Adam Hogan there, who was having a fantastic year. But are we underestimating the strength of the defences? Let's even look at the half-back lines. Jermaine Ryan of Cratlow, John Conlon, Clonlara, and David McInerney, 2013 winner, alongside Conlon from Tulla, yeah, on the Clare side. So important. And how they match up with the Cork half forward line of Decky Dalton, Shane Bard, and Seamus Harnedy. We'll be looking straight away for the matchups and see who's taking who. That's a really important line.
It is. And like, if you look at them players, like, none of them are blessed with pace, which, you know, they're all hurling men. Like, they're lads that have to read the game.
I'll tell you one thing, Dermot Ryan can cover the ground.
Right, Dermot Ryan. Well, that's good to hear, because he does a lot of running up and down the field, putting points over the bar, and when he seems to go on these man-marking jobs, it doesn't really suit the team. He's better off giving them the space, like Kyle Hayes for Limerick. Let him up and down that line, he caused damage all day. But say Conlon and McInerney, like,
they're just readers at the game. You know them boys. They're playing hurling since they're probably 3 years of age. They know where the ball is going to go, when it's going. Could they explain it? Probably not. They just go. Like the great Brian Whelan from Offaly. Where's the ball going to land? I don't know, but he'll be there. So that's the way I read that team. And Conor Cleary as well, just an absolute, like, he's fullback, one of the hardest positions in the game. Always marking the top lads. Like today, Alan Connolly, the last day, you know, probably Owen Cody or one of these lads, TJ Reid.
Could Cleary be on Brian Hayes today? I think that's a question in the build up, given the impact that Hayes had in Porky Cleave that day in the long puckouts, the impact he had the last day as well. Looking at the Cork half back line, they put Kieran Joyce back wearing number 5. Now, he played there the last day on Hegarty. They have Rob Downey, his brother Owen, fullback, and Mark Coleman. That's a real pack run for Cork.
Yeah, I think that myself now, I think they might put Kieran Joyce out on Tony Kelly. Okay. If Tony Kelly goes to midfield, if Tony Kelly stays half hour, I reckon they'll leave Kieran Joyce on him. They need a kind of a man marker, a lad that'll fight for every ball and has the legs to go with Tony. Because if you let Tony off, Tony will go off and he'll score about 6 points from play. So I would imagine Kieran Joyce will say, but I'm delighted for the two Downey boys. You know, two Glen Rover men, Barn the Wool men, two young players. Like, I would never have said they were coming to the problem positions. Full back and centre back. There's Roy Keane, no?
Aye, I did have roars for Roy. Tommy, Michael Lee Higgins lingered with all the players there. He had a word with them. I think he spent extra long with Shane O'Donnell. What do you think he was saying to him today?
Yeah, well, Shane O'Donnell, he could have met him 11 years ago. Whoever met him that day, whatever he said to him was the right words on him, because O'Donnell didn't know he was playing up to 2 hours before the game. Next minute he finishes with a hat-trick. He probably had a score within 18 or 19 minutes. I was watching they were showing kind of replays of the goals earlier on. His finishing is sublime. And even his goal earlier on against Cork, was it, where he'd done the 360 degrees turn.
Oh.
Suddenly there was nobody around him.
Who does that?
Shane O'Donnell is one of the only lads that does do it. And he's just playing. You know, sometimes, Tommy, a player just goes to a level where they don't even, you know, you can't even explain it. We've seen that man up in one of the corporate boxes, Roy Keane, at the All-Ireland final here today. Great to see him. How you going, Roy? But remember his performance against Juventus in 1999 Turin. He had got the second yellow, which meant he was out of the final, and it was just off he went. He kind of played on just instinct.
It's funny you say that, because speaking to Shane O'Donnell 10 days ago at the All-Ireland Final Press Day, and they can often be, you've done them, awkward times for players, they don't really want to say too much. Shane was talking to me about the decision he made to continue playing hurling. It was a 50-50 call. He has life, he has work, he has different things going on. And when he decided to come back, and it was the right decision for him, everything after that felt like a free shot. And that's how he's entering today. You mentioned Roy Keane. Roy Keane was suspended already. He took that game as a free shot and he went for it. What a place to enter an All-Ireland final, a free shot.
Yeah, and listen, as we head into the parade, the whole place in front of us in the Hogan stand, they're behind the Arcane Boys band. I'm looking out at the Cork team, like a Patrick Collins. How important has he been to the revival of this Cork team? Long puckouts, accurate puckouts, and of course those wonderful saves for Scallan and Hegarty in the semi-final. The Downey brothers, the Bash brothers, as their clubmate Christy ringed in 90 years ago, they go through a stone wall to win a 50-50 ball. Christopher Joyce, the new Brian Corcoran, they said at the start of the year, he's Rolls Royce Joyce now. He can play anywhere. He could pick up Tony Kelly, Ilarna Barca, Seamus Harnedy, his mother. She was a brilliant player. She won 6 All-Ireland medals. Imagine that. Seamus has been a heroic player too for over a decade. He'll be hoping to go home with an All-Ireland medal there today. Alan Connolly, we spoke about him before. Nicky Raggard has 59 championship goals. Like, amazing stuff. How proud would he be of this man? He's going for his 4th hat-trick of the year today. Will the triple in the bag already? Who's the best against them? Go look at the Clare team. You have Adam Hogan. He's the snarliest quarterback in the town. He's the fecal man. He's tough. He's energetic. He's charismatic. He plays in the front foot. He's fearless. Does that remind you of anyone from the same parish? John Conlon. He's the conductor, as I say. He's the conductor of the orchestra. He's the RP to the team. What a man he's been for Clare. Like, Ken McGrath went from centre half forward to centre half back, which was nothing short of inspiration for Washford that time. This man has done the same for Clare and totally turned things around. Tony Kelly, the first time I remember of TK, was drinking 25 B bottles of TK Red Lemonade after schoolyard matches at lunchtime. There's only one TK in town these days, Tommy, and he'll be hoping to bring home his second Celtic Cross Lair today. And the last man, Mark Rogers. what Shane Barr is doing for Cork, Mark Rogers is doing for Clare. 1-6 was his tally down at Parky Cueve for the round robin game. What will he score today? Which brings us down as the teams come down along the Cusack stand. They're heading into the Hill 16, where we'll say, as we did for the last 3 years, the hurler's prayer for all the families, their brothers, their sisters, their boyfriends, their girlfriends, everybody is to relate that they have a good game today, a safe game today, and hopefully 30 players will play outstanding. Grant me, O Lord, a hurler's skill with strength of arm and speed of limb, unerring eye for the flying ball and courage to match whate'er befall. May my stroke be steady and my aim be true, my actions manly and my misses few. No matter what way the game may go, may I rest in friendship with every foe. As I come up here towards the Hogan stand, when the final whistle for me has blown and I stand at last before God's judgment throne, may the great referee, when he calls my name, say, "You hurled like a man, you played the game." This is it, Tommy. They're coming up to the Hogan stand where the president is. They'll soon break off and off we go. Hopefully it'll be an absolute epic.
Tommy Walsh, beautifully put. Where else would you rather be? It's the 2024 All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship Final. It's Cork in a huddle. It's Clare finishing out their walk behind Aron Naveen and our team ban. Aron Naveen is on the way. The referee will throw in the ball.
Are you sure we can tell this?
Massive fan of off the ball.
Ireland is in dreamland.
The All-Ireland Finals are almost upon us.
There's always good guests on.
Fastest ever seen you run your life.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe at offtheball.com/join.
Highly recommend it.